everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Glad you could be with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Ahead, some of our great guests, Kristen Sunana Walker, talking about how suicides, a great percentage of them, have something to do with internet activity. Yeah, we're going to talk to her in just a few moments. Also, Bart Marquise, talking about some of the political headlines of the day. He is with Ops Lens. And let's go to some of those headlines now. Trending, Michael Cohen testifies behind closed doors, Trump's former lawyer. President Trump threatening to veto any House resolution blocking that national emergency he declared at the border. And the president arriving in Vietnam. He'll have another summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un later this week. And something that you guys really just still have trending at number one. Number one on YouTube. Take a look at that performance from Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper of Shallow on the Oscars the other night. People can't get enough of it. Here's their standing ovation as they came back from performing. And people were saying, wow, the chemistry, how great it is. But we just thought we'd show you the actual video that they put together of the song, because it's got some chemistry too. Take a look.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself.
Deep, I watch as I dive in. I'll never be the ground.
like to cover trending topics in all fronts: politics, culture, fashion, and beauty. And we love to talk to small businesses too, large and small. And we have a woman on today who has really chased her dreams. And her dream was to help people look better, feel better about themselves, take care. And you probably noticed in recent years, one of the top trending beauty services, I guess you would say, are those lash extensions that people get. They're new and they're hot. So we are glad to welcome with us the people from Bombshell Beauty. It is Sabrina Johnson. She's the owner and eyelash extension technician. I can't imagine what it takes to put eyelashes on somebody, but here you go. You can follow them on Facebook and all around social media and on their website. And Sabrina, we'd like to say, well, look at those Instagram pictures. Those look pretty good. Hi, Sabrina. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Let's see here. Oh, yes. You look like a professional. They're very, very good.
Thank you.
So how did you get into this?
I've been a makeup artist for about 8 years. I started in makeup. I went to college for fashion design. And I wasn't really sure exactly what I wanted to do with that knowledge. And while I was in school for my aesthetics license, one of my classmates was doing eyelash extensions. And through my experience with makeup artistry, I was pretty familiar with eye shapes and kind of what would be more flattering on various people. So that's how I originally got into it.
Boy, what a great, like, just to look at the business aspect for a minute. It has to be a nice, lucrative thing to add to the repertoire of all the beauty things you do. Eyelashes are like, seem to me like just a foundational thing, where if you have those on, you write somewhere on your social media, people, they feel good about not even wearing makeup, because it just makes everything look so much better, brighter, you look well-rested, and things like that. So good profit margin, good business. People keep coming back, because I imagine once they have them, they don't want to not have them.
It's pretty addictive, yeah. I'll get clients who come in who are getting married or are planning on just getting it like as a one-time thing for a special occasion, and they realize how much easier it is in the morning. They don't have to put makeup on, like you said. So people kind of tend to start as if they're just doing it as a one-time thing, and they end up coming back. A lot of my clients have been with me for over 5 years. It's something you maintain every couple of weeks, so it's a great service to add on if you're a beauty professional.
So how does it work? We come in and see you, and I think I read that you put like 1 to 5 extensions on each lash. Is that how it works, and about how long does it take for the client?
So a full set, which means you don't have any extensions on, can take anywhere from 90 minutes to 2.5 hours, depending on which type of extensions you're doing. And then after that, because of the lash growth cycle, you want to maintain the extensions. So usually people come in around 3 weeks or every 3 weeks just to maintain them. And that appointment is about 45 minutes to an hour long.
Interesting. So, when did you know that you wanted to help people attain their best selves and look as good as they could?
You know, it's always been a passion of mine. Like I said, I moved to Los Angeles to attend fashion school when I was a teenager. So the beauty and style industry has always been a passion of mine. But I would say once I started getting into doing makeup artistry, I started doing fashion photography, and then I kind of got into bridal and special events. And I realized how happy people were when they felt good about themselves and they felt confident and beautiful. And so I started the lashes, the lash business, just because I really love helping people achieve that goal.
I'll bet talking to Sabrina Johnson from Bombshell Beauty, I'll bet it's really neat to, in many ways, you're helping make people's dreams come true for a special day, whether it's a wedding or another special occasion.
Yeah.
Or just day by day, you know, feeling good about themselves. And it can change a whole lot, you know. And I love that you say you love to empower people with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of my clients, like I said, they've been with me for years. They can't imagine their life without their lash extensions. A lot of my clients are very busy professionals who don't have a lot of time to get ready in the morning, and they just wake up. They don't feel like they have to put on eyeliner or really any makeup, as we were saying. So I love helping people to just feel good about themselves.
And for people who have questions specifically about the lashes, what does that do? You can do it in such a way where it doesn't damage the lashes if you find the right esthetician, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, a lot of my clients have been with me for many years. They don't have any damage to their natural lashes. The main key to that is to really finding a professional, a licensed professional. It's very important that your technician is either a licensed cosmetologist or an esthetician. And we don't go too long. We generally don't go longer than, I would say, about 3 millimeters longer than the natural lash. And we don't go more than twice the thickness of the natural lash, so it doesn't cause any damage. A lot of my clients have actually said they think their lashes are healthier with the extensions because they're used to curling their lashes and putting on mascara daily and then washing that off, which can kind of cause some damage to the natural lashes. So a lot of people actually find an improvement in the health of their natural lashes.
That makes so much sense because you really do. Managing them in the morning when you put it on and when you take it off, that's a lot.
Absolutely.
It's a lot for the lashes to take. Interesting. Does it feel weird for people, or do they just get used to it? Because they're going to be wearing mascara. A lot of people are wearing, they're going to wear false eyelashes anyway if mm-hmm. they don't have the extensions. So I bet it's just maybe like a natural move to do it.
Yeah, I think the first thing people notice is that you can't rub your eyes as much as you would if you didn't have them. Most people get used to them within a couple of days. And like I said, a lot of my clients say they can't imagine not having them. You know, when they do take them off once in a while, it feels really weird to them. It's kind of like acrylic nails. If you have fake nails, you get used to them after a while, and then it kind of just becomes second nature to have them.
Sure. They're just an extension, like the lash extensions, literally. But when you bring up nails, talking to Sabrina Johnson, Bombshell Beauty, that is bombshellbeautyla.com. Beautiful website, lots of social media presence. Yeah. And I know it's important to use the right kind of safe glue when you do what you do. And also, when people go to a nail salon or any salon, we hear all these things about it has to be sanitary. People can get all these little weird things that they can pick up. And so we probably pay attention to that too. And that's probably another recommendation of yours, to find someone who's recommended and does a good service like yourself there in LA.
Absolutely. I would definitely look at the reviews. If you can, talk to current clients. It's very important to ask the right questions. I personally am happy when people ask about my training, my experience, how long I've been doing lashes for. And I think those are key questions to asking your technician, because there are a lot of people who aren't really trained professionally or just realize it is a lucrative business and try to kind of do it on their own without any training. So it's very important to find someone who is experienced.
Yeah, you can't just hang a shingle and hope for the best. You have to find someone like exactly. like Sabrina Johnson of Bombshell Beauty. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. I've never done it. I really want to and keep meaning to, but it's neat to get these tips from you. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. We'll see you next time. Keep us posted on your business. And here on America Trends, we're up next with Kristen Sunana Walker. 1 in 4 teen suicides involves the internet. Plus, home assistants with moral AI could call police on owners. We'll talk about it. We've got Bart Marcois coming up. He's an undersecretary for President Bush, 43, the son. And he's going to be on talking about the political headlines of the day, of which there are many. But right now, yes, he's with Ops Lens, right there. And a career diplomat, so we always enjoy his perspective. A lot of things going on in the world. Kristen Sunana Walker is with us right now. She's a host and the CEO of Mental Health News Radio, Mental Health News Radio Network. And you can find just so many great items on her website. And some of the headlines of the day that Kristen's talking about... Home assistants with moral AI could call police on owners. I can't wait to get behind this. Do you have Amazon Echo or any of these other little things around your house that that might have microphones that we don't even know about yet? So we're going to talk about that. But also, Kristen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Glad to be back.
Oh, it's good to see you. And I love this. And I have your bio. You've been working in the healthcare field for more than 2 decades. You're downloaded in over 171 countries, and you've got best-selling authors on and all these things. But some things you don't put in your bio that I'll brag about is you've taken time out of your life to volunteer at suicide hotlines and really put yourself out there. That I can't imagine anything more emotionally draining than helping someone, than literally saving a life. And this new headline, 1 in 4 teenage suicides involves the internet. This is after an official inquiry. Can you tell me a little bit about this study and just what is going on out there?
Well, I mean, it's so great that the studies are being done. And actually, there's a lot of muttering or twittering out there about trying to debunk the study because it's not good for revenue, since social media is the platform that is driving, the largest amount of ad revenue for, small businesses, large businesses, et cetera. But, you know, we can't deny the numbers anymore, how this is affecting our youth. And we that didn't grow up with this, we didn't, you know, we weren't born with a smartphone in our hand. We have not, we've been kind of clueless as to how this affects our kids, because it's not something that we grew up with. But this study is, in fact, correct.
Was this study done, this is by a Professor Lewis Appleby, was this done in the UK or in the US?
I believe it was done in the UK, but I'm not 100%
on that. That's what it looked like to me. Doesn't say, but he heads the government's advisory group on suicide and said research into almost 600 suicides by young people aged under 20 showed 128 had used the internet in a way that was suicide related. And he finds that some of these social media sites seem to not care, or as you say, are sort of like playing dumb, because, you know, and you really do have to say, what are you going to do about it? Because you hear so many times people, you can have a friend or a family member who commits suicide and people try to take on that guilt. And people always say, and you see it on TV, you know, there's something going on. You can't blame yourself. You can't blame this, that, or the other. So what is a company to think, or what are people to think when things like this happen?
Well, I think we do have to look for the source of what's going on. And social media is absolutely a source. It's a source that's used for great good, and it can also be used for not good things, like getting us addicted to technology, and especially addicted at those ages when our brains are still developing.
Kristen, that's such a good point. Those brains are not, we could say, why do teenagers think this way? Lack of experience, but also their brains just aren't completely melded yet.
Absolutely. And their psychology isn't together. They don't have age and wisdom to know that they're going to get over this thing that just happened, or these posts or these bullies online. You know, they don't have the age behind them to know that, okay, yeah, I get through this. And that's, you know, we always say teenagers are dramatic. Well, let's put that times a million. When the drama is out on social media, there's no privacy.
Oh, gosh, I literally cannot imagine the drama that we went through. It seems like it starts in fourth grade, all the way up through high school, and then social media on top. I don't know how that, we need a lot of prayer for our kids. We really do. So the study talks about that it involves searching online for suicide methods. There's people suffering online bullying or putting suicidal posts on social media, these cries for help, I guess. According to the inquiry, it used clinical information to investigate reasons for the suicides between 2014 and 2016. So any last words besides that? And I think we're going to go ahead and put up the National Suicide Hotline here in America, just because there's always, you know, we have veterans who deal with this. We have people that we can't imagine what they're going through. And sometimes it happens to people and you think, how could that happen? I didn't see it coming. So the Suicide Prevention Hotline, 800-273-8255. Boy, I'm telling you, people, if you've ever had any thoughts like this, please keep this handy. Talk to someone. You don't have to give them your name, soch, your nothing. You just call and you talk to somebody, as Kristen can attest, right?
Absolutely. And everyone should study up on what being passive aggressive means, because that is what we're doing by using the internet to bully people. It's a way of being passive aggressive. It's extremely covert and it's extremely dangerous. And I mean, we should be teaching about these kinds of things, you know, with kids in the first grade.
You're so right. And people our age have heard it. Passive aggressive. If the world could get over being passive aggressive, so many ills are solved. All right,
exactly.
Kristen. So we're also talking this hour about this is crazy. We just had, there's a new study out about our new report out about this Nest thing where there's a microphone and they can hear you, and they didn't tell you they could hear you. So all these Amazon, I don't have any of these in my house yet. I mean, they seem like they would be alluring to have, but they're a little scary. So now this report that home assistants with moral AI, artificial intelligence, could call police on the owners. Oh, to what end? What's going on?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, and it's been going on. You notice how if you look on your phone at a Nike tennis shoe or, you know, anything, within 3 seconds you go to look at Facebook or something else, and that all of a sudden you're seeing tennis shoe ads pop up. So AI has been going on you know, long before what we're talking about today.
It's well established in our lives. We already need to realize
Absolutely.
That, what you're saying. Absolutely.
And now, you know, yeah, well, big concerns about privacy. There are things, what if a home health worker is planted to try to, you know, take someone down, or, you know, to get them in trouble, or this is a grudge that they're carrying. And so they create, I mean, there's so many ways that this can be used for not good. And then there are ways that this could be wonderful if there are things, you know, it's a very, very touchy subject, and it totally involves our privacy.
So is this the newspaper, the Daily Mail in England? Is this a thing where they would enact certain keywords that would give cops a heads up to say, you know, just like you said, home health care workers. Oh, you could,
yeah.
Parents. Oh my God.
It's not much different than, you know, I don't know if you remember some of the pizza commercials that would play during the Super Bowl, where there was a woman who was saying, "I'm calling for pizza," but she was really calling 911, and they knew what she was saying about her husband becoming more and more.
Okay,
and more
that's
volatile.
Actually a true story somewhere in there.
Yes.
That actually happened. Yeah, things like that is pretty amazing.
So this would involve some of that language, and it would also involve, at some point, it is going to involve a camera that we're not even aware of that can detect certain things. So yeah, this is real, and it's happening, and it's happening already.
Notably, Google Home and Amazon Echo devices, these are the ones that are popular, been at the center of, you know, privacy and security concerns since their release. This is a whole new step. Could it help? I don't, with so many things that go into it. Kristen Sunata-Walker, thank you so much for helping us break it down. She's with Mental Health News Radio Network. We'll see you next time, sweetie, okay?
Thanks, Amy.
You bet. Welcome back to America Trends. Hitting some of the political topics of the day, and some of them have got some worldwide things happening. President Trump in Vietnam right now, preparing to meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un later in the week for their second summit together. And, oh, there it is. Welcome. Look at this. That's just adorable. Also, talking about Venezuela, the stuff is going down there. National emergency declaration, Congress getting in a tither over that. President Trump says he might veto any action they take against it. Got the ISIS bride, all kinds of things to talk about with Mr. Bart Marcois, a career diplomat, undersecretary for President George W. Bush. And we're so thrilled to always have him on here. He's a contributor for OpsLens, OpsLens.com. And hey, Bart, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Amy?
Good. Off the top of your head, do you know what your last article was on OpsLens? We can brag about you.
No, I don't, to be honest with you.
Pop quiz,
remember.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. So President Trump is in Vietnam now. What do you think he hopes to establish with this? People saying you're never going to rein in Kim Jong-un. But, then, you know, he's got the art of the deal, right? Maybe?
Sure. And, you know, you talk about your carrot and your stick. He already has reined in Kim Jong-un. He used the stick, a very big one. He said, "I have a bigger button. I've got a nuclear button, too, and mine is a lot bigger." And essentially told Kim Jong-un, this was 6 months ago, he said, "Stop threatening with your paltry little missiles that don't work very well and that you've only got six of. That's nothing. I can destroy your country. Now let's talk about what could happen." And all Trump wanted, he's already gotten. Kim Jong-un has stopped threatening to blow up the world. He's stopped threatening to blow up Guam. He's stopped threatening to blow up South Korea. And he's stopped threatening to send missiles to Los Angeles or San Diego.
Thanks. And where we're out of, Bart, thanks for thinking of us here.
I'm thinking of you guys.
Thank you.
And he's stopped testing. And so Trump has gotten his bare minimum. Now, he would also like to see complete denuclearization, and that's where the carrot comes in. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get that with a stick. When there's an old parable about the north wind and the sun in a competition trying to make a man take his coat off, and the wind blew as hard as he could and as cold as he could, and the man just held his coat closer and closer around him. The sun came out and beamed and shone this nice warm ray, and the man said, "Man, it's hot," and he took his coat off. Trump is coming in as the nice warm sun now.
Bart, this is great. We're imparting all this wisdom here today. This is great.
Yeah, I read that analogy. In third grade. My Miss Minter would be proud of me if she knew I still remembered that story.
You need to impart that. I'm sure with Common Core, no one's learning this, and there's all kinds of things we're missing. So bring your lessons any day, my friend.
So Trump is coming in now and saying, look, you could be rich. You could be president of the wealthiest country or an extremely wealthy country beyond your wildest dreams. In fact, Kim, you could be a beachfront real estate mogul like me. And it all goes back to that video that he sent him that everybody made fun of. But that's the carrot. And he's saying, give up your weapons. Right now you're under sanctions. And no, we're not going to lift them. No, we're not going to lift them till you get rid of your weapons. But you get rid of your weapons, we'll lift them and we'll make trade deals and you will become wealthy and successful.
And that does appeal to him. He likes some of the glamour and the riches,
yeah,
and the hoity-toityness of, let's just say, non-North Korea things. But let's not forget one other huge win that happened right away was when we had, it was a year ago, first week of May, three hostages that had been in North Korea for, I don't even remember how long, got released. Oh boy, the mainstream media couldn't make enough of a non-issue of it. But there Trump and Melania were in the middle of the night welcoming them home.
Yeah.
Back home from all this time. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
That was a huge
one. And I believe
one.
They are happy and their families are happy to have them back.
Yeah. Just sort of looking right here to see how long they were. But the three of them came home. And you know, it may not mean something to everybody, but for that family and for people who go through things like this, what a promise. And that's President Trump going out on a limb for a specific thing. It wasn't, I don't believe he's in this for political win. He's not in this for politics. He doesn't care.
No, this is, and you know, once again, what he's doing, and I said this back in, I don't know, the beginning of the year when we were first talking about this, he is conducting diplomacy out in the open. It's like, you know, most people like their diplomacy cut up in little cubes on their plate, like they like their meat, and they don't like to see where it came from.
Oh, yeah.
And President Trump is going out and saying, hey, you know what? It comes from an animal like that one, and I'm going to slaughter it, and I'm going to gut it, and I'm going to clean it, and I'm going to skin it, and I'm going to butcher it, and then I'm going to cook it up, and you're going to have a great stew. And you know, people are saying, oh, you know, shouldn't you know what you're going to do before and have it all pre-cooked? He's saying, no, let's go do it and see what happens. Yeah. This is how great decisions are made. Two strong leaders get together and they sit down and they make an agreement.
Boy, I love that. My name's President Trump. I'm making some stew. Sit back and watch how it's done. I love that.
Yeah.
But some of the, you know, those who oppose President Trump will say, well, they said they were taking down some of their nuclear sites, but here they are doing more. I just suppose, I'm not a career diplomat like you with all this experience, but I'll bet there's some back and forth. It's not a straight line to success. It's a little bit wavy and ups and downs. So how would you assess all that?
Everything in diplomacy is two steps forward and one step back.
Sure.
When you're negotiating with an enemy. And make no mistake, North Korea is an enemy. They treat their people terribly. They treat defectors even worse. They treat their enemies badly. Kim is not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He's doing this in a cynical ploy to gain advantage. But President Trump is saying, okay, you want to make a cynical ploy? Let me see if I can take that and take your self-interest and show you that your ultimate self-interest is in removing those. We can't go in there and verify every single site. We can't go in there and take away the nuclear missiles. President Obama allowed him to develop his nuclear program.
Oh, wait,
so
who?
Did
who? The man who had, you know, I just saw someone post yesterday about the man, Obama, that had no chaos, no drama. No drama. And it's just you laugh because there's a whole list of it. But there's some stuff that just the mainstream media didn't report on these things and no one paid attention. Obama could do no wrong.
Yeah, well, if you do nothing, then there's nothing to criticize. I remember once when I was first getting started doing a little bit of volunteer political work, there was a guy that I knew that was running for I think it was a state delegate here in Virginia, and he wanted to know what he could, how he could differentiate himself from the incumbent who'd been there for a long time. And I said, well, let me see if I can do a little research and find out. And she had never voted on anything controversial. She simply didn't vote if it was controversial. Wow. And there was nothing to criticize her for because she had done nothing, but it worked for her. It worked. She's still there. My friend lost. He knocked on every single door in that district, talked to everybody that answered the door, but he still lost. So it works. It worked for Obama. It worked for her. It works in politics if people don't pay attention.
Speaking of Obama, Bart, we're going to keep you over after this break and talk more about the ISIS bride. We hope to get to that. But also Obama, he declared a humanitarian crisis in 2014. Does anybody remember why? Because he found out some 120,000 unaccompanied minors were apprehended. We've had that many just this year. We'll talk about it after this.
As we meet today, the people of Venezuela stand at the threshold of history, ready to reclaim their country and to reclaim their future. The people of Venezuela are standing for freedom and democracy, and the United States of America is standing right by their side. Socialism promises a better future, but it always returns to the darkest chapters of the past. So today I ask every member of the Maduro regime, set your country free. Now is the time for all Venezuelan patriots to act together as one united people. We know what freedom can do in Venezuela because we have seen that future right here. We are born free and we will stay free now and forever.
Welcome back to America Trends. We are here with Bart Marcois, and all eyes are on Venezuela. Bart, career diplomat, undersecretary for President George W. Bush. Bart Marcois writes for Ops Lens. But Bart, can you give us a brief history of socialism in Venezuela from when it seemed they were doing okay, then it seemed like it was the answer for everything, and then to now when kids, we just got a new video in the past 24 hours, kids eating out of garbage trucks and citizens eating zoo animals just to stay alive. Oh, what went wrong?
Oh, you know, and also, how can anybody watch that speech, those clips you just showed, and not support President Trump and his efforts and understand that this is a man who's trying to improve he's trying to improve the world in every place that he can.
Okay, Bart, I have to say what you said last segment, though, about people doing nothing and just resting on laurels and doing just enough to seem like they're getting by. That's not this president. He does so much and he gets criticized for it, and he really doesn't have to do anything. We've had presidents who've sat around and not done all that much. And you, I'm sure you've witnessed that and noticed that Trump is just a little bit different.
Yeah, he is different. And he really is trying. He was already a billionaire. He didn't have to run for president. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to serve. He could have said, you know what, just kidding, I'm going home. Mm-hmm. But he gets up every day at about 4 o'clock in the morning and starts working and saying, what can I do to improve people's lives? And Venezuela is an extremely wealthy country, or it was before socialism took over, has more oil than any country in the world, period, flat out, more oil than anyone, has gold, has all kinds of rare earth mineral reserves. It should be extremely wealthy, but when Hugo Chavez took over, he ran it into the ground. And then when he died, with the best health care that socialized medicine could provide, Nicolas Maduro took over. And Maduro is just a thug. And he and his buddies have stolen so much that the tick has grown bigger than the dog. There's nothing left to steal. And now everybody is rooting in garbage trying to be fed. And it's just sickening. And now there's a chance to throw off the yoke of oppression because a young fellow, the Speaker of the Assembly, Juan Guaido, has stood up and said, you Maduro are an illegitimate president, and the Constitution provides that the National Assembly step in if the president is illegitimate. And I am now the legitimate acting president, and I'm going to preside until we can hold free and fair elections instead of the phony ones that you held last year to get yourself reelected.
So is this just going to go on for a little while and they'll sort itself out, or are other powers going to get involved? Will the U.S. do anything? What do you think?
I think we're days away from a solution. I think the U.S. has in reserve a what the military, my military friends like to call a kinetic solution, if necessary, as do Brazil and Colombia and the other neighboring states. But I think that they are waiting to do exactly what President Trump called on the Venezuelan leadership to do the right thing. The leaders of the military, the leaders of the interior ministry, the police forces, to make sure that they stay on the side of the Venezuelan people. You saw something so sad. 2 or 3 days ago, there was an aid convoy that tried to get through, there was a big concert in Colombia, and they organized all these trucks to bring in food and medicine and shelter to people, and the Venezuelan army stopped them. And when it was over, the general, the number two general in the Venezuelan army, declared victory, and he was celebrating. He said, "We were victorious. We stopped this food from getting through the borders."
Wow.
Stop and think about how the Venezuelan people feel about that. Ugh. That's the victory, is making sure that they continue to starve? Mm. Please.
There's these little vignettes of people eating out of garbage trucks and the dire story of eating zoo animals to stay alive. It sounds hyperbolic, but these are just little small vignettes into what's going on over there, so to be continued. Bart, President Trump is threatening to veto if Democrats in the House take action against his emergency declaration. He's trying to get a national emergency. He wants $8 billion to secure that border. And we spoke. There's a specific statute that apparently allows all this. And again, as I said in the previous segment, in 2014, Obama declared the same humanitarian crisis, 120,000 unaccompanied minors, and that's just who they caught. That's just who they saw and saved, hopefully. We've had that number already, 120,000, just in the 2 months of 2019. So all the problems with the border we've had since 2014 have gotten only worse. So what's going to happen?
Trump will win this one. the House will pass their resolution. It will go nowhere in the Senate. And even if it did, President Trump would veto it. And it's not going to change the emergency declaration. A more serious delay will come from the states that have brought a suit in the Ninth Circuit to stop it. But I think that the administration will succeed in getting that fast-tracked. And I think that the Supreme Court will rule on the side of the Constitution, which entrusts the president with protecting our borders and protecting the nation. President Trump is going to win on the emergency declaration, on the repurposing of the money, and on the building of the wall.
Yeah, so those 16 states led by California trying to stop it too, suing. And shame on Pelosi and those people for standing there saying anything about a fake emergency. What are you talking about? Look at the facts. They're just gaslighting us and trying to pretend like it's not happening. Hey, in five
shame
seconds.
Shame on them for so many things. Infanticide. Everything.
In 5 seconds, should the ISIS bride be able to come back to America?
She went to create a new country, and she can live in the country she went to create.
sure are glad you could be with us this hour for America Trends on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Really glad you could come along. Thank you to our guest. We had Sabrina Johnson from Bombshell Beauty talking about some beauty trends. Also, Kristen Sunana Walker of Mental Health News Radio Network talking about how one in four or five suicides involves the internet. Just so much to keep our eyes on and pray for, so we appreciate her time. Bart Markoy's career diplomat under George W. Bush, talking about the political headlines of the day. Oh, so many. Hope you will join us on our website, u2america.com, and click through and be our friend on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all those usual suspects. Click on there. You can find the trending news stories and, yeah, like us. Let's all be friends. Won't that be fun? Hey, finally, on the heels of that new Netflix series we told you about Ted Bundy on, what, the 40th anniversary of, I don't know, was this when he died or when he started his, not when he started his rampage, but when he died. Anyway, this Netflix series has so much traction. There is also a new Ted Bundy movie called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. Look at this. It's Zac Efron. Also stars Lily Collins and a bonus of John Malkovich, too, on that guy from that one show. So we're going to show you a little bit of this as we head on out. This is the new Ted Bundy movie. Take a look.
That guy's been staring at you all night.
What do you say we get out of here?
What is it about this guy? When I feel his love, I feel like I'm on top of the world.
There are things you don't know.
Hi, officer. I think I must be lost.
That will shock you beyond your worst nightmare.
I am innocent.
You don't actually believe this garbage, do you?
It's in all the papers, Ted.
Monkey! Oh!
How did his name get on that suspect list? I want to come see you.
I was really hoping you'd say that.
This case is about catching a monster.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am that innocent suspect.
You are skating on thin ice, partner.
The media has convicted Ted before he's had his day in court.
I'm gagged, and you're not.
I wonder whether he did it or not.
I'm more popular than Disney World.
Did you do these things?
Absolutely not.
Let me get back to plotting my escape here.